I ask you this morning to turn with me to the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17. 1 Samuel, chapter 17. I want to talk about the champion of God. The champion of God. 1 Samuel, chapter 17. I'm going to pretty much cover most of the chapter. Not all of it, but most of it. But I want to begin by reading verses 8 through 11. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 8 through 11. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel. Now, this he that's here in this verse is the champion of the Philistines. His name was Goliath. He stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and cried unto them, "Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine? And you servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Would you join your hearts with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we bow before you again this morning to honor you. And we pray, Lord, that everything that would be said would be that which you would give to us, and that which would honor you. And glorify the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, help us that as we look at this passage today, that we might see Jesus, our Savior, your champion. In Christ's name we pray, and amen. This message began coming to me last Sunday afternoon as we were up at Flat Rock, and Brother Steve Pierce referred to this passage in his message last week. And as I began to think about what took place here on this day between David and Goliath, I began to see a parallel between our Lord fighting Satan. So I hope to be able to lay that out to us this morning so that as we look at this passage, that our faith will just be enforced and brought to a place where that we can know that we are on the side of the champion, the ultimate champion, and his name is Jesus. In this passage, in this chapter, the army of the Philistines have come up against the army of Israel. And it's a standoff at this point, because on one hill is the army of the Philistines, the other hill is the army of the Israelites. And they're just kind of looking at each other. You know, I'm reminded at this point of third grade. Guys, you know what I'm talking about. Go ahead, knock it over my shoulder. And nobody would take a step forward, you know. We're just, and back and forth. And that's what's taking place. Except at this point, Israel's not even saying anything. They're frightened. They're in dismay because of this enemy that's come up against them. And so they're looking from this hillside to that hillside. And I don't know how often this took place. I have it pictured in my mind that every day for a period of time, this one Philistine would step out of the camp of the Philistines, step to the brow of the hill, and begin to taunt the armies of Israel. Send a man. Send a man. And you would think, okay, we can do that. Except for one thing. This one man of the Philistines that came out, his name is Goliath. He was the giant. Now, in reading and trying, we're given his statistics as far as how tall he was, how heavy his armor was that he had upon him. And I'm not good at changing math from one thing to another, so I'm just going to tell you, he was really tall. I've read that he was somewhere between 8 feet tall and 11 feet tall. Okay? And that's tall, right? But think about it. Give me about five guys, I think we can take him. That's the flesh talking. I can handle this. I can go up against this. But wait a minute, he's big. The closer you get, the bigger you realize that he is, and he's bigger than I am. 8 to 11 feet tall. That's pretty tall. I don't think I can go up against him. And the armor that he had on weighed hundreds of pounds. The metal jacket that he would wear that protected his breast and his stomach, it was heavy. The spear, one thing that I read said the spear was 26 feet long. I don't know about that. That sounds pretty long to me. But his sword, every day he'd come out and he'd wave the spear, he'd wave the sword, and he'd say, "Send somebody out to fight me. I'm just a man. I'm just a Philistine. Send somebody to fight me. Anybody. You just choose whoever you want to. Send him out. And we'll fight." And something that I noticed in verse 9 that I read, he said, if he be able to fight with me, and if he wins, we'll be your servants. But if I win and I kill him, then you're our servants. But notice something. There's a phrase that he put in verse 9, at the end of verse 9, at the end of what he said, that he said to the Israelites, but he didn't say about himself. He said, we'll be your servants. He said, but if I win, you'll be our servants and serve us. Did you notice he didn't say, we'll serve you? You can call us your servants all you want to, but that doesn't make any difference. We won't serve you. You can call us your servants, but we'll still be enemies. But if I beat you, then you're going to be our servants and you will serve us. So day after day, he comes out, and they're just frightened. Well, this whole time that this is going on, a man by the name of Jesse has three oldest sons that's in the army of Israel. And back home, he has some other sons, but he has the youngest son, whose name is David. Now, David was one that, he's a shepherd boy. I know everything I'm saying you already know. He's a shepherd boy, and he loves to play the harp. He writes songs. He's one that loves the Lord. He serves the Lord. And he serves his father. The chapter just prior to this, David has been brought into the kingdom of Saul, into his room, where that when Saul gets these bad spirits that come upon him, David starts playing the harp. And when he starts playing the harp, and I'm probably singing, Saul calms down. But now when Saul has gone into battle, he sends David back home. And we find, as we read through this, down verses 14, 15, says that David, the youngest of Jesse, went back home to feed his father's sheep. He didn't go back home just to say, okay, I've got a few days off, I don't have to do anything now. He went back to serve his father. And he's tending the sheep, just like he had for years before that. He's tending his sheep. Well, one day, Jesse comes to David and he says, I want you to go check on your brothers. I want you to see how they're doing. And as you go, take them some parched corn, take them some bread. And oh, and by the way, I'm going to send 10 cheeses. You give that to the captain. And I'm wondering what Jesse's doing that for. Give it to the captain. Give the 10 cheeses to the captain. Maybe he's thinking if I give cheeses to the captain, he'll go easy on my three sons and maybe not put them in the front line of the battle. I don't know what's going on there, but he sends David. And when David gets there, he gets there just in time to see this routine of Goliath coming out and speaking these words of defying the army of Israel. And this is my paraphrasing. You read this whole chapter when you go home, but my paraphrasing is he looks at his three brothers and he says, what's going on? Why hasn't someone gone out to fight this giant? And of course, now the brothers are just saying, yeah, you're just a runt. You're out here trying to make a name for yourself. You're trying to draw attention to yourself. You just go on about your business. We'll handle this. You go about your business. And so then David asked somebody else, and he asked somebody else, until finally the word comes to Saul, the king, that says there's a boy here that he's saying there is a cause and there is a reason, and somebody needs to go out and fight that giant. And he says he can do it. Saul says, bring him to me. Now, at this point, I don't know that Saul has not seen that David is the one that's there. He, surely he knows him from being in his court all that time and playing. But now he says, bring him to me. And when David comes, Saul looks at him and he says, let me just read, go on down to verse 32 with me, if you will. Verse 32, David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. David, you're inexperienced. David, you're just a little boy. I'm figuring that he probably was 13, 14 years old at this time, maybe 15, in that early teen years. And Saul is saying, this is a grown man, but not only is he a grown man, he's a giant. And not only is he a giant, but he's been in battle since he was your age. He has all these years of experience over you. He has all of this time that he's put into battle. And David, you don't have any experience. And you're just a boy. And I'm thinking Saul is saying to himself, I can't send this boy out there. What are they going to say when Saul defeats this boy? And I sent this boy out there. Verse 34. And David said unto Saul, he didn't stop there. David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him. He wasn't going to get my lamb. He wasn't going to steal my sheep. I went after him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me. You see, David is not bragging about himself. David is not saying, look what I did. But rather he's saying, look what the Lord did. The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. There was no dissuading David from going out and fighting that giant. And Saul finally understood that. And I want to hope that Saul took hold of that same faith that David was exhibiting at that point and realizing, if God did this for you, then with the bear and the lion, then he'll deliver you this time also. And the Lord be with thee. And I look at that and I look at Saul and I look at his past history and I look at his future history that's going to take place. And I wonder what his tone of voice was when he said, go and the Lord be with thee. I wonder, I hope he meant it when he said it, but I wonder if he said, go and the Lord be with you. You know, sometimes we say that to somebody and in our minds we're saying, you don't have a chance. If the Lord's not with him, he definitely doesn't have a chance against this particular, in this instance. Go and the Lord be with you. And by the way, I've got something for you to take with you into that battle. Verse 38. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail. There's certain things, that flashbacks of memories that come to my mind. And I remember the very first time that this picture came to my mind, I was standing in this pulpit 30-something years ago and trying to preach from this text. And I remember this picture of David with Saul's helmet on. And I have it pictured as if Matthew put on a full-size football helmet, what it would look like on him. It would sit on his shoulders, right? I mean, it would be so big that his head couldn't hold it up, so it would just sit on his shoulders, and he'd turn his head and the helmet wouldn't move. I just have it pictured that David looked ridiculous in Saul's armor, because Saul was head and shoulders above everybody else in Israel. He was that much taller than the tallest of Israel, and here's David. This young shepherd boy. So David's got this on. He's got this helmet on. He's got this coat of mail that probably reaches down to his ankles. And he's probably standing there and can't move because of the weight of it. And then Saul says, well, here, and you take my sword. And again, I have to picture that's just so much bigger than David's able to handle. So he's standing there. Verse 39, and David girded his sword upon his armor and he essayed to go. In other words, he said, wait a minute, I can't go. I haven't proven this. I don't know if your weapons work or not. I don't know if I can handle your weapons or not. He essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these. I've not proved them. And David took them off. Listen, when we go up against the struggles of life that Satan throws at us, we can't win that battle with the weapons of this world. We can't go against Satan and his demons with things that we haven't proven, things that we may think work because we've seen somebody else do it. We can't go with those things. We have to go in the full assurance of who our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is. David said, I can't go with these on. I don't know if they work. I've never used them before. I've never tried them before. So he took them off. Verse 40, and he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook. Now, a lot of people have tried to spiritualize those 5 smooth stones. I've tried to spiritualize those 5 smooth stones before. I've heard everything from the fact that there were 5 boys, Goliath and 4 brothers. I call them boys, but there were 5 giants in that family. And David got all 5 of them before it was over with. I've heard that. I've tried to use in Romans chapter 8 the foreknowledge of God and the predestination of God and the calling of God and the justification of God. Those 5 things that are listed there. I just count 4, but there's 5 of them. I don't know if there is a spiritual significance to this other than David chose 5 stones, put them in his bag, and he didn't go trusting those stones. He didn't go trusting his sling. Listen to him. Put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. It's verse 40. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Why did he feel more comfortable with the sling than he did with a sword? He'd used that sling before. He was practiced with that sling, the sling before. Have you ever been in a conversation with someone and you quote a verse of Scripture at them? They come back with a different verse of Scripture, and it's like they're coming at it from 2 different sides. So what am I going to do now? What I'm saying is, and I say this a lot, we need to be familiar with the sword of the Spirit, which God has given to us, and that's the Word of God. We need to be familiar with this. We need to be in the Word. We need to be praying for understanding concerning the Word. David didn't understand how to use that sword in the armor of Saul, but he understood what he had been given and what he had used, and that was this sling that God had directed him and blessed him with. So he's got this sling. He's going out. Verse 41. I'm getting my point, I promise you. The Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. See, Goliath is so big that he has a man in front of him carrying the shield. He doesn't even carry his own shield. There's a man goes before him, and that man puts himself in danger carrying the shield for the giant behind him. So Goliath is coming out. The man that bare the shield went before him. When the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? Do you not respect me enough that you're sending a stick out here? Because he had his staff in his hand. You're sending a stick out here? I'm Goliath. I've been in battle all of these years. I am accomplished in battle. And you don't think any more of me than to send a little boy out here? You don't think enough of me that you're sending this stave, this stick? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I'll give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Little boy, I'm going to feed you to the birds. You're going to be bird's food before it's over with. Come on. Come on. Come to me. It's what Goliath is saying to David. Then said David to the Philistine, Goliath, you've had your talk. You've had your say. Now it's my turn. Now it's my turn to tell you how I'm coming up against you. He said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, with a spear, with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. You see, Goliath, who is, I see a picture, as a picture of Satan, he's hurling those darts at David. He's hurling those fiery darts at David. You're just a little boy. You're just a stick. You are not accomplished. You see, have you ever heard any of those things that Satan puts in your mind? Have you ever heard him talking to you and saying, you can't do this, you're not worthy of this, you're not strong enough, you're not big enough, you're not old enough, you're not accomplished enough, you're not experienced enough. You need to just go sit back down. And I'm afraid to tell you, or ashamed to tell you, that too many times I've gone back and sat back down. Because I believe the lies of Satan. David said, you come to me with a sword, you come to me with a spear. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day, today, will the Lord deliver you into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I'll give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day into the fowls of the air, to the wilds of the beast, wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. This morning, you and I, we can say without a fact, without a doubt, that there is a God in Israel. We can say by faith that there is one, not only a God in Israel, but there's a God in heaven. There's a God in this earth. There's a God who lives in us. There's a God who is the overcomer. And when we go forth into the battles of every day that we face, we go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We go in the name of the Lord of the hosts. And in His name and in His power, in His strength, in His wisdom, in His understanding, and under His direction, we're able to go and gain the victories each day of those darts that come at us and those struggles and trials that we have to face. You see, Goliath was hurling darts and David had the shield of faith. I come to you in the name of the Lord. I come to you in the name of the one who has all power in heaven and in earth. And I do this not to make a name for myself. Though every one of us, when we mention David, there's probably two or three events in his life that come to our mind. And one of them is always this one, isn't it? When you think about David, you always think about, he beat Goliath. As a little boy, he beat Goliath. But David wasn't doing it to draw attention to himself. When we say that he beat Goliath, we need to also not stop right there. We need to continue forward with it and say, he beat Goliath in the name and the power of the Lord. It was the Lord's power that sent him out there, and it was the Lord's power that gave him victory. And he says in verse 47, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Now, from that point, here came the Philistine. He's mad. And he's, staying growing up, he's madder than an old wet hen. And he's coming at David, and he's coming with blood in his eyes and fire coming out of his nostrils. He's ready to just break this little boy in half. And David very confidently puts that stone in his sling, and he begins to twirl. I always had this picture of the sling we used to make out of a tree branch, you know. But it's the piece of leather with the pouch in it. And he put it above his head and he's slinging and swinging and swinging and swinging and let go. And when he let go of it, it went directly to the one spot in Goliath that was not covered, his forehead. Any other place it would have bounced off. Now who directed that stone? Who was the one that gave him the power? Who was the one that directed that stone to the very spot that it needed to be? God. God blessed David. And God delivered David. And God delivered Israel. Now, I'm coming to my message. Goliath fell down dead. David went and he stood on top of Goliath. And he took Goliath's sword, that same sword that Goliath had waved over the heads of the people day after day after day. The same sword that had struck fear into the hearts of Israel. David took that same sword and he beheaded Goliath. Now, what's all the point of this? Go with me to the New Testament book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. I just want to read the first four words of verse 9 and then drop down. But we see Jesus. I've talked about David. I've talked about Goliath. Hebrews 2 verse 9. But we see Jesus. This morning I want us to see Jesus. It's a nice story about David. It's wonderful how that he beat Goliath. But if we don't see Jesus, we've missed the whole point. But we see Jesus. Verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. When David went into battle, and he saw his brothers and he saw all the army, David became one of them. David went into battle as part of the army of Israel. Jesus, as much as you and I are partakers of flesh and blood, Jesus also himself, let me read this, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. There is an unknown aspect to this thing that we call death, because we don't know what's on the other side. There's a veil. By faith, we understand what God has taught us about that. And that's why I said to you before, before I sang that song, that there was a time when I would not be able to sing it with conviction. I would sing it out of fear. There was a time when I would not even be able to hardly talk to you about a subject called death because of the fear that was within. But just as David took that sword that struck fear into the heart of the army of Israel, Jesus Christ took the weapon that Satan brandished over us day after day after day. What was the sword of Satan? Death. What was the strength of it? The law. Why do I say that? Because the law says you're worthy of death. If you can't keep all of this law, you're worthy of death. And there was no man. I love that Brother Jim brought that out this past week. There was no man that could take that law and live it perfectly and overcome that which Satan held over us. When we think we were able to overcome it ourselves, you say, yeah, what about Eve? What about Adam? What did they do? They had everything. They walked with God day, every day. And what did they do? Yeah, they died spiritually. They were plunged into a state of being dead in trespasses and sins. You think you're stronger than them? You think you can overcome it? You see, day after day after day. I don't want to be morbid about this, but when I worked at the funeral home, constantly was being bombarded with this reality of life, and that is, every one of us, unless the Lord returns first, every one of us is going to go through that veil. And there's a part of it that says, I don't know. But faith says that Jesus took that very weapon, death, and he defeated it. And by the weapon that Satan held over our heads, Jesus took that weapon. He died on the cross. We're going to remember that in our communion service. But praise God, it didn't end there. 3 days and three nights later, he walked out. And he had bruised the head of Satan. Satan has no more authority. And though I admit to you, I'm kind of like the, I don't mean to be light about this, but I'm kind of like the little boy that when the preacher said, "Don't you want to go to heaven?" He said, "Yeah, but I thought you was getting the bus ready to go now." And I'm not ready just now. I'm not ready just now to say that I'm ready to leave family and friends and church family behind. But if the Lord called me right now, I can tell you one thing. You'd have to be envious of me. Because I'd be in heaven's glory because Jesus Christ, the champion of God, defeated death. And He used that defeat over Satan to give us the blessed assurance that our home is secured through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Because I live, you shall live also." You see, what we call death is merely a door that takes us into that which is for all eternity, into the very presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May God help us to just not only understand this has an eternal advantage for us, but every single day, every single struggle that we have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who goes before us. And He gives us the victory after victory after victory. In Him, we have victory through Jesus our Savior. May we rest in that. May we rejoice in that. May we find hope and comfort in that. To know that no matter what Satan throws at us, He cannot defeat us, for we have the victory.